Well, it certainly doesn't sound fair to me. If I began work at 6 in the morning and worked until 6 o'clock at night, from dawn until dusk, which was the regular Roman workday, and then at the end of the day received the same wages that the guy who just worked 1 hour received, I think I would be upset. There probably would be more wine, W-H-I-N-E, in the vineyard that day than W-I-N-E. But so be it. Our Lord is telling us this parable to shock us, to have us think. This isn't about economic justice. This is about the kingdom of God. This is about not only God being just, but God being infinitely merciful because of his love. As we heard through the prophet Isaiah, God said, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." Thankfully, that is so. We have a God who loves us beyond our imagining. St. John writes, God is love. God is so loving that he created us in his image. He gave us the breath of life. He gave us the very purpose why you and I are here. Yes, Adam and Eve sinned. We are the victims of original sin. We have a wounded nature. All of us here would have to admit, at times we do sin, yet God still loves us. He sent our Savior, Jesus, who perfectly revealed his love. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who took the burden of our sins onto himself and offered the sacrifice on the cross for those sins. He rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. With the Father, they poured forth the Holy Spirit so that the sacraments continue to convey this beautiful grace of God. We're nourished through the Holy Eucharist. In confession, with a humble, contrite heart, we can go seeking forgiveness and know we will be forgiven and receive those graces that also bring healing and strengthening. So, luckily, fortunately, we have a God who so loves us. Now, with that in mind, again, this should shock us into rethinking life. For the Jewish people at the time, in the historical context of the parable, this is a shocker. After all, they're the chosen ones. They're the people of the covenant made with Abraham. They had Moses, who gave them God's law. And they're the people who settled in the promised land. But Jesus didn't come just for the Jews. He came for the Gentiles, too. He came for those who are the non-believers right now. Jesus didn't come just for the righteous. He came for the sinners. And the reward of working in the vineyard, no matter when you're brought into it, is the same. It is heaven. The challenge, though, the key is God invites. We have to accept the invitation. We also have to always remember this isn't about strict justice, about the mercy of God. For if we complained, it's not fair. Would we want to be put in the scales of justice without God's mercy? We'd all be found wanting. Now take it to our own context of time. We're here in the vineyard. So the church has always been seen as the vineyard of the Lord. We've accepted that invitation beginning with our baptism. Many of us, I'd say most of us, were baptized when we were infants. We've lived our faith. We've practiced our faith. We're here. Some of us, though, may have come late, perhaps baptized later. As a priest, I've baptized not only infants, but children who are 10 years old and so on. I've baptized people who are 80, even 90 years old. But I rejoice because finally their hearts were opened and they accepted that invitation and they've begun that new life. The reward will be the same. Then there are those that may have worked in the vineyard but said, "I quit," have gone off. Maybe have stopped practicing the faith, maybe gave up the faith for a while, but have come back. How wonderful that is. The grace of God moved those people, and some of us are like that, to come back and here we are. But the reward is going to be the same. God willing, heaven. This is the story of the saints of our church. Yes, we have saints who are always holy, but there are those saints too that one time were very notorious sinners who even for a while rejected the faith. Think of Saint Paul, who came late into the picture, having been a Pharisee who persecuted the early church, or Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint Augustine, Saint Ignatius Loyola, Saint Margaret of Cortona, and the list goes on. But they all eventually accepted that invitation, and the infinite merciful love of God gave them that gift of a new life, that gift of grace. Again, the reward is the same. Now that prompts the question about, well, what about then these deathbed conversions? Well, it truly is possible. A person finally facing death may well feel God's grace at work and sincerely want to be baptized, and at that very last minute of life, find the means of salvation, just like Saint Dismas, the good thief who hung upon the cross next to our Lord. 25 years ago, there was a notorious criminal, Jeffrey Dahmer. He was arrested. He had committed horrific kinds of crimes, awful things. He was convicted for 13 murders, and probably there were more, so serving 13 life sentences. After about 2 years in jail, he had had regular meetings with a Protestant minister, and then at the end of those 2 years, he wanted to be baptized, and he was baptized. Now, we aren't here to question. We leave only God would know what is in his heart. But consider this. If he truly was sincere, then all that sin was washed away in baptism. He began a new life. Just a couple of weeks later, he was killed in prison by another prisoner. Now, some people might say, that's not fair. Such a criminal who did such things deserves hell. Be careful, because if we want a God of strict justice, what would happen to us for our sins? Always be thankful. We have such a merciful, loving Savior. Now, of course, that story, as I've told some of my eighth graders here and there, has always prompted the reaction, well, Father, wouldn't it be better to postpone baptism until your deathbed so you can have all the fun that you want? Fun being committing all the sins that you want. No. And the reason why no is sin never brings happiness. Sin is not fun despite what the world says. Sin breaks our lives apart. Second reason, don't gamble your salvation away. You never know if you'll make it to that baptism. You might die first. And then what happens? Hell. Third thing is, God's no fool. We don't play games with God. Padre Pio once encountered a woman, and she wasn't really practicing, and her husband was a real rogue. Remember, Padre Pio could read souls. Well, the man had died, and the woman got the priest. Priest baptized the man. So she asked Padre Pio, is my husband in heaven? And he said, no, he's in hell, because he was not sincere. God's not a fool. So nevertheless, we have to remember, we've received the invitation to work in the vineyard and to be good workers and to rejoice, not only to rejoice in our life of grace and faith, but to rejoice with all the others that have come into this vineyard, no matter when. We always have to be careful of the devil, who always wants to plant those seeds of jealousy, envy, discord, like that person shouldn't get as much as I do because I've worked harder or longer and so on, that kind of thing. The reward is going to be the same, heaven. And for my part, I can tell you honestly and humbly, I wouldn't change my life for anything. I always went to Mass. Unless I was sick, my family always went to Mass. We had a normal, regular Catholic family. Granted, in high school, yes, I went through struggles, wrestling with doubts and confusions. In college, yes, there is temptation. It wasn't easy being the only kid freshman year on the dorm floor who went to Mass every Sunday. Everyone else was sleeping. And then facing temptations of like smoking pot, sexing around, and so on. Thank God I didn't do it. And then even, I've been working for the church almost 40 years now, if you include seminary. The devil can plant seeds of discouragement at times when one sees the human frailty of the church. But nevertheless, I wouldn't change it because I've loved the life that the Lord has shared with me. And yes, I look at my life and I look at some of my friends from college especially, and I thank God I didn't have all the drama they had because of their so-called fun. So, rejoice in your life of faith. And two, when I've had converts come into the church, on many occasions, but I remember one man in particular, came to be baptized. He had been in a very, one could say, dissolute lifestyle for many years, but he came to a real conversion. He was baptized, and he was so happy afterwards. He said, "I have truly been born again. I've found a new life. All that's behind me, I'm free of it, and I can start again." How wonderful. Would I be envious of that? No. The reward's the same. So my brothers and sisters then, the challenge is for all of us here to be a good worker in the vineyard now. We're all here together. We need to be that good worker. Once Pope St. John the 23rd was asked, "How many people work in the Vatican?" And he replied, "About half." So, when we think about the church, are we doing our best in the vineyard, or are we being idle? What this means is, you and I rejoicing in the gift of faith that we have ought to be striving to be the best Christian we can be, to have the best Christian marriage that you can have, to have the best Christian family that you can have. That's the work of the vineyard. Secondly, to pray for those that we know who have gone astray. We all have them. I have them in my family. Those that have stopped practicing. Those may be caught in a sinful lifestyle. We need to pray for them and look for those graced opportunities when maybe we can spark something, a conversation, to hopefully bring them back. And lastly, we need to remember we're called to evangelize by our words as well as our deeds. People need to see that we aren't lazy, idle Christians. We take this sincerely. And we love to talk about our faith. We love to share our faith. So there's the real challenge. St. Paul, in our second passage from Philippians, sums it up well. St. Paul said, "For me, life is Christ, and my being magnifies the Lord." So my brothers and sisters, when we go out today, let's not become idle this week, but rather be those good workers that work together and rejoice. For us, life is Christ. Now, and God willing, in heaven. May God bless you.